Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Shady Rays. SGPNS is teaming up with Shady Rays for Shady May. Get 50% off your Shady Rays using promo code SGPN. And then go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/shady for your chance to win $500. We're also brought to you by Edge Boost. Edge Boost enables you to double your bet with no interest. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to get started today.
Hi, yo, Generinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Episode 248 is going to go out to Rich Hill, who is on my fantasy team, and he's an old guy like me, and he pitched six shutout innings yesterday for my fantasy team. So this goes out to you, Rich Hill. This is not a Rich Hill podcast. I don't know if we could do 248 episodes in Rich Hill, but this is the MMA podcast, and more specifically this week, this is the UFC podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Chalks Fox. This episode is all about UFC Fight Night Dern versus Hill, the main card. Yesterday's was all about the prelims, so if you haven't heard that, go back an episode and listen to that. Go back in the past and hear how much we've aged since that last episode. Let's bring in the brains of the operation and the beauty. It's the one and only Gumby Vreeland.
I love Rich Hill. I think I could do a bunch of episodes on Rich Hill.
Yeah, well, you just told me off air that you dropped him off your team, so you don't love him that much.
I didn't. Is it wrong for me to not believe that the Pirates are for real? Is that wrong of me?
And how old is Rich Hill also, by the way?
He's definitely
almost as old as me.
I want to say he's a decade older than me at least, right?
Yeah, maybe. So why are you just playing in a beer league when you could be in the MLB if you're... He was born in 1980, so not...
Not a full decade.
Not quite. But so he's not that old then. 1980 is young to me. And he's from Milton, Mass. Did you know that?
Yeah, I knew he was a Massel.
I live by Milton, a different Milton.
Do you go by his full name, Richard Hill, or do you call him Dick Mountain?
Oh, what a good name.
That's his nickname, Dick Mountain.
Yes. Yeah, I don't call him either. So.
Oh, okay.
I actually don't call him anything. I don't talk to him. I've never spoken with this man. Okay.
Do you know five different times he signed a free agent contract with the Red Sox?
Really?
Yeah.
See, this is a Rich Hill podcast.
I told you we should call
this episode Dick Mountain. This one
I know a lot about again. Rich Hill. I watched him play collegiate ball for in the Cape Cod League when I was nothing but a youngin', when I was like a little leaguer.
When you're just a little masshole.
Yeah.
Cape Cod, overrated.
It's a beach. That's what it, I mean, like, it's a crowded area with like touristy shit and a beach. Like, it's, yeah. that's what all the beach places are like.
That's true. There you go. Generalizing. All right. Enough. See, I got him started on Rich Hill, and look out. We're going to talk about Dern versus Hill this week. Was it last? Yeah. They were supposed to fight last week, right? And they got bumped ahead to headline this card, which it's, I think it's worthy of a headlining slot. So no dispute there. All right, we're going to start off with this card, six fights. We're going to break down all the fights for you, and then at the end of the podcast, we are going to give you our locks, dogs, props, and a parlay. And Gumby's very good at props this year, right? Is that the one you're killing at? I think it is.
In the last 3 weeks, for sure.
Yes, props. He's up 30% money-wise on props. So listen carefully, people. Listen to the end. Hopefully that has hooked you. All right. Before I do an ad read, let's jump into the first fight, shall we? It is lightweights. Carlos Diego Ferreira. Sometimes I seem listed just as Diego Ferreira versus Michael Johnson, 155 pounds. We'll tell you about Johnson first. The Menace. Dennis the Menace Johnson, we'll call him. It's really Michael, though. 21-18, 9 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted 9 times. 13-14 in the UFC. He's gone 2-1 over his last 3, however. Win, loss, win. was the pattern there. He's gone 2-5 over his last seven. He's fought at featherweight, or predominantly did fight at featherweight. Did miss weight at that weight before. He went 4-0 in the Ultimate Fighter, but lost in the finals. Who'd you lose to, Dan?
Is that Court McGee?
Maybe. No, it wasn't.
Oh, no, Jonathan Brookins. It was, yes, Jonathan Brookins.
Jonathan Brookins, it was. He's got also has multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. 2008 was his pro MMA debut. He's got an inch of height on Ferreira. He's a year younger. He's at +145. Ferreira, CDF is 17-5. 3 knockouts, 7 submissions. He's been knocked out 3 times. 8-5 in the UFC. However, he's lost 3 straight fights, the last 2 via TKO. He has not fought since December 2021. He's missed weight twice in the past. He also has multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Used to fight at welterweight and middleweight, 2011 pro MMA debut, inch of reach over Johnson. He's more active landing strikes. He also is a BJJ world champion, or I think he's a medalist, maybe not an actual champion, but he's a world BJJ medalist. -150 is the number on him. All right, I go first on the main card normally. I will take Ferreira in this fight. Johnson, I know he's won, 2 straight or 2 out of 3. I still don't buy that he's got much left in the tank. I think Ferreira has a lot more and is far more dangerous on the feet and on the ground, especially with a guy who's been submitted 9 times. I think Ferreira definitely will have the grappling advantage if he can get it to the ground. Concerns are he's been out of action for quite a while. He hasn't won a fight for quite a while as well. And the weight thing is another piece that you may want to hold off until weigh-ins on Friday and see how he's looking to see if he makes weight before you make a pick on an official bet on him. But he's my official pick on the pot.
Yeah. And I think Fajeda's line is being dragged down by that 3-fight losing streak. And yeah, you just can't, like, he's a great grappler, right? Like we can all agree Diego Fajeda is an incredible grappler. And you look at the guys he's lost to in a row, and it's all some of the best grapplers in the division, right? Matthews Gamrot, yeah, Gregor Gillespie, Beneil Dariush. Like, he's fighting, like, the best we got in there. And the fight with Beneil Dariush went to split. You know, like, everybody's talking about Dariush getting a title shot right now. It was a split decision. One of the judges had it for Diego Fajeda. And, like, you know, that's worth noting because, like, he's losing fights to grapplers, and it's not even like he's looking bad against them necessarily. Like, even, dude, he looked good in that Gregor Gillespie fight until he lost. So, like, I think Fajeda is unfairly being characterized as a guy who's kind of like washed, and I don't think he's washed. I think he's much better than that. And, you know, when you look at who Michael Johnson has beat recently, you know, Mark Diakasi, Alan Patrick, like, and when he fights guys who can grapple him a little bit, he suffers. He did terrible against Clay Guida. He stuffed takedowns of Thiago Moises until Thiago Moises, like, pulled back on a leg lock and just hit it. Like, Diego Fajeda is going to be a much better grappler in this situation. So, yeah, give me Diego Fajeda here.
Okie dokie. We both agree on that one. We pretty much agreed totally on the main card, too, except for one fight. Not the main card, excuse me, the prelims, except for one fight. All right, let me tell you about our brand new sponsor, Edge Boost. SGPN is excited to announce an exclusive early access partnership with Edge Boost, the world's first bet now, pay later Visa card. Similar to buy now, pay later programs like Affirm and Afterpay, Edge Boost enables you to double your bet with no interest and pay back the advance over 4 equal weekly installments. That's right, 0% interest. Simply deposit funds in your account and Edge Boost will match the deposit so you can use twice as many or 2x, 2 times the funds on any legal sports betting site. Edge currently offers up to $2,500 in advances as you build a repayment history. With this special offer, the first 500 SGPN users will start at a $1,000 advance limit, and the next 2,500 users will start at $500. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to sign up today. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge. Plus, for 21 years or older to use, only valid in legal gambling states. Problem gambling, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Dan, Edge Boost, Double Dan, play of the day for this podcast is?
I'm going to take Diego Fajeda.
Okay.
Perfect. I just got done telling you, Diego Fajeda. Exactly. It's being underrated. Use that money line, baby.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. All right. Welterweight, shall we move up a weight class? Welterweights, we've got Andre Fiala versus Joaquin Buckley. We'll tell you about Fiala first. 16-6 with 1-0 contest, 13 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked out 4 times. 2-3 in the UFC. He's lost 2 straight fights, both via knockout. 0-1 with one no contest in the PFL, 4-1 in Bellator, 2 inches of height over Buckley. He's been outstruck over his UFC career by 3.05 strikes per minute. Not good at all. Plus 190. New Mansa is Buckley's nickname. He's 15-6 with 11 knockouts. He's been knocked out 4 times, 5-4 in the UFC. He's lost 2 straight fights, got knocked out in his last one, 3-2 in Bellator, 2 inches of reach over Fiallo. Striking, active striking, and grappling stats are all better than Fiallo's. He has outstruck his opponents by 0.34 strikes per minute in the UFC, and he's at minus 210.
I'm going with Joaquin Buckley. I actually, when this fight got announced, I thought I was going to go with Fiallo, because I like what I've seen from him. I always remember liking, which is, you know, like usually a good sign. I always remember liking watching Fiallo fight and being like, oh, he had his moments against, you know, I mean, he looked really good against Baeza, but like he had his moments against Jake Matthews, and he looked good against Muslim Salikov, and, you know, like he did good against Michel Pereira. But like, then I go back and watch those fights, and man, does he just look so freaking tired, like very early in the fight, and he looks hittable. And it's the hittableness that really worries me, because he's been knocked out 2 times in a row. Joaquin Buckley hits really freaking hard and is like not a guy who stands around and gets hit. You know, like Chris Curtis got to him because he overextended himself. But apart from that, like he doesn't, you know, like he stood toe to toe with Abdul Razak Alassane for 15 minutes and dealt with it. And like he hits hard enough that I think he can finish just about anybody. So I'll take Joaquin Buckley. I think he just hangs in there, fends off Fiallo and tires him out, and probably finishes him late.
Yeah, Buckley is the pick. Very dangerous striker, and he's going up against a guy who's coming off 2 back-to-back knockouts, which is not a good thing. And a guy who's, as I told you when I was breaking down the stats, guy who gets badly outstruck in the UFC. So seems like a recipe for a disaster for Fiallo. So Buckley is the pick here. Let's go to a catchweight fight. Emily Ducott. Or is it Ducote? I've heard both.
Ducat.
Is it Ducat? Because she's American. If she was from Quebec, it would be Ducote.
It's Ducat.
Versus the Canadian, Lupita Godinez. Lupi Godinez. You admitted it on your podcast saying how her sister wrestles for the Canadian national team. So there you go. She's Canadian.
That doesn't make her Canadian.
Doesn't it?
I don't think so. Nope.
All right. Whatever. Well, we're taking it anyhow, as long as she wins. Let's tell you about Ducote first. Gordinha is the nickname, which is Little Chubby, if I remember correctly, right?
Yeah, because Gorda means big or chubby, I think.
Yes, there you go. She's 12-7. Ducote, 3 knockouts, 4 submissions. No, sorry, Ducat. I'm saying it like a French person again. 12-7, 3 knockouts, 4 submissions. Been submitted 1 time. It's the only time she's been stopped in a fight. 1-1 in the UFC, did lose her last fight after winning her debut. She went 4-1 in Invicta and was the champion there. She went 4-4 in Bellator, used to fight at flyweight. She got 2 inches reach on Godinez. She's more active landing strikes than Godinez is in the UFC. However, she's been outstruck pretty badly, almost 2 strikes per minute over her UFC career. Minus 1.94 is her strike differential, and she's at plus 133. Lupi Godinez, 9-3, 1 knockout, 1 submission. Never been finished in a fight. She's taking this fight on short notice. How much notice does she have?
You like a little bit over a month, or right around a month.
Yeah,
I think.
Okay. All right. So it's not. Yeah, that's right. I wouldn't have counted it if it was more than a month. So I think it's just a little less than a month. Sounds like she was ready for this. Anyhow, she's into the short notice fights. You can hear all this stuff on Top Turtle MMA podcast, of course. All right. Godinez, 4-3 in the UFC. She won 3 of her last 4, including her last fight. She's fought at flyweight before. This one's right in the middle of the flyweight and strawweight. Multiple regional championships on her
mantle.
Correct. Go get the shirt. Strike differential. It's in the positive for her. Plus 0.24. Grappling stats are in her favor over Ducat as well. And she's at minus 150. This is me. I'm taking Godinez, not just because she's Canadian. But come on.
Keeping that Canadian card.
She grew up in Vancouver. Yeah, it's true. I've been getting a lot of crap on the Discord about the Canadian thing. No, the short notice does concern me a bit, because long-term listeners know short notice replaces don't win fights very often. 37% is the rate that they're winning fights at. 50% this year, though, so maybe it's a new trend. But anyhow, I just think she's good enough that she can overcome this. Plus, it wasn't a huge short notice for her, and she doesn't have to cut a massive amount of weight because we're doing a catch weight. She's going to push the pace and be a way better grappler in this fight. So I'm hoping she implements her wrestling. She kind of, when you interviewed her, she kind of said she's going to, but then she also went back to saying that she's been working on her striking, so that's why she hasn't been wrestling. So that's a little concerning. If she wrestles, she wins this fight. So hopefully she does.
I think she will, even if she doesn't wrestle a lot in this fight. Because the thing, okay, I'll say is, if you go back at the people who have given Emily Ducat trouble here, it's people, like you said, who can push the pace and who can wrestle a little bit, right? Angela Hill, not much of a wrestler, at least offensively, but she's like, you know, she puts a pace on her, and that was too much for Emily Ducat. You want to go back to her losses in Bellator, which she's got a slew of losses in Bellator. It's all people who either push the pace or grapple well. The one in Invicta was Kanako Murata. I love Murata, great wrestler. Then you got like Alima Leigh McFarlane has beat her twice, once by submission. You know, you got Warhorse Williams who beat her too. Like all of those women either push a pace or wrestle or do a little bit of both. And I think Lupita Godinez follows that game plan, right? She pushes a pace, she gets in your face, and when you get comfy trying to counter off the back foot, that's when she hits you with the takedown. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Lupi. I think Lupi should have a pretty easy time here getting the fight to the mat.
Don't say that. It won't be easy, Dan. It'll be a battle. But we're going to win, right?
I don't know that it'll be a battle if she goes to get her down. If she commits to taking her down regularly, I don't know that it will be a battle.
Yeah, no, that's true. Hopefully she does. All right, before we move on, I'll tell you something that's not a battle. It's Shady Rays. No battles there. Shady Rays and Shady May are going to tell you about. Shady Rays is teaming up with SGPN for Shady May. Not only do you get an amazing 50% off, but you also have a chance to win $500. Shady Rays have you covered from the sun to the slopes with premium polarized shades, customizable snow goggles, and much more. Shady Rays have durable frames and extremely clear optics for outdoor adventures. Last of all, Shady Rays offers the most insane protection in all of eyewear. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they tell us they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. Wear your Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back long after you purchase. If you don't love them, exchange for a new pair or return them for free within 30 days. There's no risk when you shop with Shady Rays. Their team always has your back. And for international listeners, Shady Rays has you covered as well with shipping to Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the UK, United Kingdom. Go to ShadyRays.com and use code SGPN for 50% off two or more pairs of polarized sunglasses. Then take your receipt to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Shady for your chance to win the $500 Shady May contest.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, Paulo Costa versus Ikram Aliskerov. Do you like that matchup, Dan? Go.
I do. Yeah, if Paulo Costa is like going to complain about his contract every 4 seconds, they're going to try to build a prospect off of him. And, dude, based on what you just saw out of Ikram Aliskerov against Phil Hawes, who, by the way, is always like nipping at the edge of the top 15, do you feel like he shouldn't be able to beat Paulo Costa? I bet you he comes in as a favorite. Let me tell you that. Ikram Aliskerov is going to be a favorite by fight time.
See, I was hoping I would, I was dropping a news, breaking news on you, but nope, you already knew about the fight and you already have, tell me who's going to be, the favorite. So boom.
That one's third from the top in Salt Lake City. I'm on it. Yeah.
All right. He is on it. All right. I am on our co-main event of the evening. This is at middleweight, Edmund Shahbazyan versus Anthony Hernandez. Tell you about the golden boy first, Shahbazyan, 12-3, 10 knockouts, one submission. He's been knocked out twice. 5-3 in the UFC. He's gone 1-3 over his last four. However, he did win his last fight via TKO. 1-0 in the contender series. He's got 2 inches height on Hernandez. He's 4 years younger. He's been outstruck over his UFC career by 0.28 strikes per minute, including his contender series fight as well. He's at plus 200. Hernandez, 10-2 with 1 no contest, 1 knockout, 7 submissions, 4-2 in the UFC, 3-0 over his last 3. He including a submission win his last fight. He got a no contest in the contender series. That originally was a win, and then he got popped for weed on that back when that was illegal still. He was the LFA champion. He's got inch of reach on Shabazian, striking, active striking stats, and grappling stats all in his favor. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.53 strikes per minute. He's at minus 201. There's a funny number for you. All right, you go ahead.
Do you know who Fluffy Hernandez beat on Contender Series?
No.
He beat Jordan Wright.
Oh, I did know that. It's true. Yeah, all right, you're gonna talk while I go get my power cord. So talk now to the people. Don't ask any more questions.
Yeah, so he beat Jordan Wright. And this is going to be the first... First of all, I'm gonna just say this. I'll take Edmund Shabazian. I think this fight is a really close one. The margins are really narrow. And if they're this narrow, you always go dog instead of favorite. But also, I'll say this. Like, I'm just not really impressed with Anthony Hernandez's record. Like, if you go back, the three straight wins are not particularly good. Marc-Andre Barrio, you know, perennial guy. Yeah, perennial guy getting beat up all the time. Josh Fremd.
Powerbar? Come on.
Dude, Powerbar is not good, is he? Do you think he's good?
No. Go ahead.
I mean, he beat Julian Marquez, but like, and Jordan Wright. Like,
well,
those are his wins.
There's your answer right there.
And he beat Dolce Lugiambula.
There you go. It continues.
I don't know what you want from me. yeah, so Marc-Andre Barrio, he beat Josh Fremd by decision, which, you know, we just watched Josh Fremd not look good again, actually, you know, a couple of times in there, although he did beat, didn't Josh Fremd just win too? Yeah, he just beat Cedricius Dumas. But he, you know, Josh Fremd didn't look great. Rodolfo Vieira just tired out in that fight. And now we're seeing Anthony Hernandez having not fought in like 8 or 9 months. So it's been a really long time. On top of that, Edmund Shabazian, yeah, the three-fight losing streak is concerning. But Derek Brunson, Jack Hermanson, Nassourdine Imavov, really tough run of opponents. Then he rebounded by looking phenomenal in his last fight. And it was all off of taking 13 months off. Second look here. 13 months off. He changed training camps. He changed strength and conditioning coaches. He changed agencies who are now seemingly looking after him better. He's no longer working with the head movement guru. That is Edmund Tavarian. Like,
head movement.
He's the best in the world at coaching head movement. yep. So now he's training with Extreme Couture. He looks bigger. He looks buffer. I think his physicality is going to be a problem for Anthony Hernandez. I think he looks better on the feet than Anthony Hernandez. And I think he's got the ability to stop it from going to the ground. So, yeah, give me Shabazian here. I think the dog money here is good for him.
Someone convinced me on this when I heard an earlier podcast, Top Turtle podcast. I was thinking Hernandez was going to be the underdog here. I was very surprised by the line, which caused me to pause, first of all. But, yeah, I think Shabazian is definitely worth the underdog stab here. So I'm taking him as well. Yeah, definitely Hernandez isn't worth a minus 201 play. And Shabazian's younger, obviously. He looked way better his last fight. And just more dangerous, a better and more dangerous striker. So I always take that over the grapplers who have to get the fight to the mat to get to their strengths. So give me the golden boy. Like I said, I was very surprised by the line. Were you as well?
I was, yeah, because I thought Edmund Shabazian had, like, built up some stock in that last fight where everybody was like, Oh, this is the Edmund Shabazian we thought was a prospect, right? Like, that's what I thought when I saw him again. And I was like, oh, and it's good that he got away from that coach who was clearly toxic and not good for him. And then, like, the line came out and, you know, a guy on a layoff is a big favorite over him. So, yeah, I was surprised he was a dog. And like you said, like, if he came in as the favorite – Would I potentially be giving a bigger thought to Anthony Hernandez? Definitely. But like, since he's a two, you know, if this is going to be plus 200 on either side, I think I'd play plus 200 on either side of this fight.
Okay. Well, there you go. All right. Main event. We don't have plus 200 close, but not quite plus 200 in this fight. It's women's strawweights, Mackenzie Dern versus Angela Hill. Overkill Hill. Excuse me. I will tell you about first. She's 15-12 with 5 knockouts. It's been submitted twice. 10-12 in the UFC over 2 stints. She's won 2 straight. Before that, she lost 3 straight. Used to fight at flyweight. 0-1 the Ultimate Fighter. She was 4-0 and Invicta and the champion there. She also was a pro kickboxer. She had inch reach on Dern, striking and active striking stats in her favor. And she has outstruck her UFC opponents over the 12 fights by 0.71 strikes per minute. She's at plus 150. Dern, 12-3 with 7 submissions, never been finished in a fight. 7-3 in the UFC. She's gotten loss, win, loss over her last 3 fights. Has missed weight 3 times in the past, but she seems to have that under control now. Used to fight at flyweight, 1-0 Invicta. She's a BJJ world champion multiple times over. An inch of height over Hill, 8 years younger than her. She's been outstruck over her UFC career by 1.37 strikes per minute, minus 170. Give me Dern in this fight. Obviously, hopefully she's been working on her wrestling, because that's really a glaring hole. Her striking's even gotten better than her wrestling at this point. Her striking, you see improvement. Wrestling, you haven't really seen improvement. So, but I think she's going to get this to the ground and be able to beat Angela Hill here. The 8-year age gap is a huge difference as well. And while Hill's going to be a better striker, she's not really that dangerous of a striker. I don't think she's going to put Dern in any risk of leading knockout or anything like that. So give me Mackenzie Dern.
I think that last point that you made is maybe the most important one, is that Hill can't put you in trouble. And I don't know that she's going to stay away from the trouble that Mackenzie Dern brings for 25 minutes. So even if you think Mackenzie Dern's grappling isn't going, her takedowns aren't going to hold up, she's not going to be able to get a lot of takedowns, she's not going to be able to win rounds, she really only needs to get this down once, right? And she should be able to sub Angela Hill. So I think Hill just has a tough time staying away from the danger for that long. I'm going to go with Dern too. I think she wins this one.
All right. Let's recap our picks. Don't go away though. We got our fancy picks coming up next. Excuse me. We both have Dern. We both have Shabazian. We both have Godinez. We both have Buckley. We both have Ferreira. We are on the same page here. All right. Locks, dogs, props, and parlays. Whose turn is it to go first this week? Do you remember?
I think it's you this week.
All right. My lock is, let me see. I got to start hitting my locks. I've been losing on my locks. So, boom, boom, boom. Nope. All right. Give me either for Ferreira at minus 150 over Michael Johnson.
You know, he was actually my second pick. Okay. I was going to go Ferreira too, but instead I'm going to go with Karolina Kovalkiewicz. -130 on her. I just think, the advantages, the things that Vanessa Demopoulos does best are things that she does not do better than Karolina Kovalkiewicz.
There you go. Very succinct. Do I only have one dog? Really? Sorry. I don't have many dogs on this.
No, course, you got two.
Okay.
You got two.
That's right. Yep. Boom, boom, boom.
You could choose between them.
Yes. Hooper or Shabazian?
And Gorimbo is not a dog, but
he's a, all right, I'm going to take Shabazian at plus 200. Let's go big.
I like your style. I'm not going to take Shabazian. And actually I'm going to take the only fight that we differed on with each other all day or all the last 2 days. I'm going to take Gilbert Urbina plus 102. I like his grappling and his chances of thwarting Orion Kosuke.
Ooh, thwarting. Very nice. All right.
I love a good thwart.
Yes, you do. What's Fajeda?
You're going to double down on Fajeda.
Yeah, that is true. Do I want to do that? I was going to say him via submission. What's Dern via submission? Probably not that great, right?
Let's get on it. Hang on. I had not already had plus 175.
All right, let's do it.
I'm kind of surprised that that's that high. Yeah. I didn't even look at that number.
She's not a massive favorite either, so I guess it kind of makes sense. But
yeah,
I guess decision is probably the most likely outcome, but submission is second, very close.
Yeah, this is a sub heavy card. Let me tell you, you can pick subs on a lot of people on this fight card. Because you mentioned Fajeda, nice number on his sub. Dern's got a nice number on her sub. I'm going to tell you about one when we go to the Hungry Man Jong Superfan Parlay that is massive. That's a sub. But all of those are not the sub I'm taking here. I'm taking Themba Garimbo by submission. All right. Themba Garimbo, like I said on yesterday's show, 6 of his 12 wins by submission. So he's won half of his fights by submission, or five of his 10, rather. It was five of his 10 fights by submission. You got, we got 6 and 9. Where was I going with that? Takashi Sato has given up 3 of his last 5 losses are by submission. So we just got like a high probability that submission could happen here. Greenbow clearly committed to grappling. Plus 350 on Thebra Greenbow by submission. So
wow.
Another big prop here that I'm taking a swing at. I like Thebra Greenbow by sub.
All right, locks. Karolina Kowalkiewicz and Cissa Fajeya. Dogs, Gilbert Urbina, Edmund Shabazian. And prop picks, Thebra Greenbow via sub and Mackenzie Dern via sub as well. All right, Hungry Man Jong, Superfan Parlay. Two fights that are going to pay big time when they hit. Go ahead.
Let me kick it off with a prop. And this one, I don't know if I'm squeezing it into the Hungry Man Jong just because I wanted to mention it and it wasn't good enough to be my prop of the week. How about Rodrigo Nascimento by submission? Granted, Ilir Latifi has not been submitted, but he's also not fought at heavyweight very long and not at heavyweight against anybody who was going to dominate him. Granted, Alexi Olenek could certainly have subbed him, but he played this weird game where he like boxed with him and pulled guard the whole time. So I'll take Nascimento just tiring him out and getting a submission late. The submission prop for Nascimento, who has a ton of submissions on his record, right? 6 submissions in his career, only 9 wins, plus 525. So if you pair that with, I'm just going to take the Edmund Shabazian money line, that's plus 1775.
Wow, 1775. So Nascimento sub, Shabazian money line. That is a big payout, Dan. It's going to be nice when we hit that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's about time we hit one too. So
it is. We'll be back on Sunday to discuss how we hit that pick and hit all our other picks as well. In the meantime, get in the Discord and chat with us, especially when the fights are on. We're at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord. Twitter is SGP and MMA is the official account Gumby runs for us. He's at Gumby Vreeland. I'm at Jeff Fox Writer. He's got a Top Turtle MMA podcast that he interviews Lupi Godinez and Orion Koske on this week. Make sure you listen to that. Make sure you get all my MMA writing in your inbox pretty much every day and enter my pick 'em contest over at moneymma.substack.com. And all things Sports Gambling Podcast are housed at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Gumby, take it away.
I'm Data Gumby Vreeland. He's Loopy Jeff Fox. And we will see you on Sunday.